This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
يا سائلي عن مذهبي وعقيدتي رزق الهدى من للهداية يسأله اسمع كلام محقق في قوله لا ينثني عنه ولا يتبدل.
الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وعلى آله وصحبه من والاه ما بعد. Okay, so we have, inshallah, three more topics to cover. Al-Sirat, the bridge, Al-Qantara, and Al-Shafa'a, the intercession. And inshallah, we'll cover those now. Bi-idhnillah. Fadl. The bridge is on page 89, so you want to turn to page 89 of your book, bi-idhnillah. Now.
The bridge. The bridge spans the back of hell. It is a bridge between paradise and the fire.
That statement there, it's a bridge between paradise and the fire, does not seem accurate. And because the hadith of the Prophet ﷺ says, "Ala matni jahannam," so it goes over the hellfire. It's not between the fire and Jannah. Wallahu a'lam. Now,
people will cross it at speeds proportional to their deeds. Some will cross it in the blink of an eye. Some will cross it like a flash of lightning. Some will cross it like the wind. Some will cross it like a racehorse. Some will cross it like a camel rider. Some will cross it running, some walking, and some crawling. And some will be seized and swept away into hell. This is because the bridge has hooks. Hooks which will seize the people in accordance to their deeds. Whoever crosses it will enter paradise.
That is true. Whoever crosses it will enter Jannah. There are ahadith that indicate that, and that's why we mentioned before that the hold is before the sirat, because there are some who would attempt to go to the hold who will not make it to the hold, and they will be put into the hellfire. We're going to cover four things here. Number one, the description of a sirat. The second thing is, who will make it to the sirat in the first place? Who are those people who will attempt to cross the sirat? The third is, how fast will people cross the sirat? And the fourth is, what determines the speed? Right? If we say that some of them, like Sheikh al-Islam says, some of them will be like the blinking of an eye, some will be like lightning, what is it that determines that speed? First question is, what's its description?
Its description and location. Then the bridge would be set up over hell and intercession would be allowed. And they will say, "Oh Allah, save us, save us." It was asked, "Rasulullah, Messenger of Allah, how is this bridge?" He answered, "Unstable and slippery. There will be hooks, tongs, and spikes like the thorns of the plant found in Najd called As'adan." Abu Sa'id said, "It has reached me that the bridge is thinner than a hair and sharper than a sword."
All right, so this is now قال يضرب الجسر يعني هو الصراط على جهنم. And some narration على متن جهنم. So it's over the hellfire, right? Not between the hellfire and Jannah. So that's when we talk about location, if you will. In the description, as you can see here, it is دحض مزلة, unstable and slippery. Subhanallah. And as Abu Sa'id al-Khudri radiallahu ta'ala anhu said, that it has reached him. Yani wallahu a'lam, yani this is from the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, but sallallahu ta'ala a'lam, it is thinner than a hair and sharper than a sword, wallahu a'lam. Here the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasalam said that there are hooks and spikes like the thorns of As-Sa'dan. That's a plant found in Najd, and it looks like this. Okay, that is a sa'dan. So there are thorns and hooks. Tayyib, who makes it to the sirat in the first place? Now,
Abu Sa'id al-Khudri narrated that the Prophet ﷺ said, "On the day of judgment, a caller will announce, 'Let every group follow what they used to worship.' So the worshippers of the cross will go with their cross, the idolaters with their idols, and the companions of every false deity with their God, until there remain those who used to worship Allah, both the virtuous and the Shan, Bukhari
and Muslim. Naam, and as it comes in the narration of Al-Imam al-Bukhari, he says, وَتَبْقَى هَذِيَ الْأُمَّةِ فِيهَا مُنَافِقُوهَا. And this ummah will remain with its munafiqun, with the hypocrites. So what is apparent is that before they get to the sirat, everyone will be told to follow what you used to worship. Follow what you used to worship. Those who worship the cross, they follow the cross into the hellfire. Who's going to remain to go over the sirat? This ummah, ma'a munafiqiha, yani, along with, even though the munafiqun technically, right, they are kuffar, but because they outwardly look like Muslims, they'll be with the Muslims, right? And there's the ayah in Surah Al-Hadid, you know, where the munafiqun are asking the believers to provide them with the light that the believers are given. And there are certain narrations that talk about the light that the believers have. So some will have in front of them light like that of a mountain, until the least of them has light on his toe, and his toe alone, and it flickers. Subhanallah. Now, again, understanding the descriptions, the Prophet ﷺ already said is dahdun mazilla, and it's unstable and it's slippery, and then the only light for some people will be that flickering light on the bottom of their toe. So how fast can that person actually go over the sirat, right? Now.
Is it Muslims of all time?
Muslims of all time for the sirat. Meaning, what does he mean by Muslims of all time? All of the prophets were Muslims, and all of their followers were Muslims, right? The followers of Isa, alayhi salam. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam mentioned again. That's why. So the sirat by itself, you could do 3-4 hours easy just dealing with the sirat, because there's so many different issues related to it. And the prophets, will be the only one that will be allowed to speak and make du'a for their ummas on that day. Now, tayyib, description.
Abu Hurairah radiallahu anhu narrated that the Prophet alayhi salatu wasallam.
So this is the description of the crossing itself. Now.
The believers then will pass over it like the twinkling of an eye, like lightning, or the wind, or birds, or like fine horses and camels. Some will escape unscathed, some will be slashed by the hooks, etc., and let go, and some will be piled up in the fire of hell.
So how many sections do we have of people trying to cross the people that are crossing the sirat, right? How many categories are there? Nah. Not three. Three. You have those who get across unscathed, right? They'll cross different ways. Some of them like the blinking of an eye. Some of them like horses. But they're unscathed. They're not going to be makhdushun, right? So they're not going to be the ones that are ripped and slashed by the Sa'dan. So then the next category is those who get across the sirat, but they're not whole because they've been ripped but they made it across. They made it across. And then there's others who will not make it across the sirat. They'll be taken to the hellfire. They'll fall into the fire of hell. Waliyadu billah. That's the munafiqun. And those from this ummah, the muwahidun, okay, whom Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will use the fire to purify them. فَشَاءَ اللَّهُ عَزَّ وَجَلَّ أَنْ يُعَذِّبَهُمْ بِذُنُوبِهِمْ. And so Allah Azza wa Jal will, that they will be taken to account for their sins, and they will have to be purified in the fire. And those who do not purify themselves in this life with tawbah and with good deeds, Allah al-Musta'an, then there's a different purification that will come. Nasallahu alayhi wa sallam. Tayyib. Iqra, Shaykh.
No, I'm not.
Tayyib, iqra.
There will be the speed of prophet. He will traverse according to the exception of the Sharia in this world. And I'm not going to show my bad Arabic.
Tayyib. Qala ibn Rajab rahimahullahu ta'ala. Yani, what determines how quickly a person crosses the sirat? And you think about the sirat, staying on it at all seems to be problematic. Meaning, the thinness of it, the sharpness of it, the fact that it's unstable, the fact that dahdun mazilla, right? So it's unstable, it's shaky, slippery. Staying on it for any significant period of time. Yeah, Latif. All right. So the question here, or the issue that we're dealing with here, is that staying on the sirat is putting a subjecting the person to falling into the hellfire, right? So crossing over quickly is the matlub. That's what we're going for, right? قال ابن رجب رحمه الله تعالى وذلك أن الإيمان والعمل الصالح في الدنيا هو الصراط المستقيم في الدنيا الذي أمر الله العباد بسلوكه والاستقامة عليه. So he says, al-iman and righteous actions in this dunya, that's the sirat al-mustaqim, right? That you have faith in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and in His commands, His prohibitions, that you follow them. This is the sirat al-mustaqim, beneficial knowledge and righteous actions. That's the sirat al-mustaqim in the dunya that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has commanded His servants to traverse and to stay firm upon it and upright upon that path. وَأَمْرَهُمْ بِسُؤَالِ الْهِدَايَةِ إِلَيْهِ He also commanded His servants to ask Him to be guided to that sirat. Okay. فَمَنْ اسْتَقَامَ سَيْرُهُ عَلَى هَذَا الصِّرَاطِ الْمُسْتَقِيمِ فِي الدُّنْيَا ظَاهِرًا وَبَاطِنًا اسْتَقَامَ مَشْيُهُ عَلَى ذَاكَ الصِّرَاطِ الْمَنْصُوبِ عَلَى مَتْنِ جَهَنَّمْ Subhanallah. So whoever stays firm and upright on the sirat al-mustaqim in this dunya, ظَاهِرًا وَبَاطِنًا يعني that is both his apparent actions and his inner actions, right? So his faith and his expressions of that faith in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, whoever is firm on that, on the sirat in this dunya and upright, istaqama mashyuhu ala dhaq as-sirat al-mansub ala matni jahannam. Then his traversing upon the sirat will also be upright. He won't fall off. He won't fall off. On that sirat that is over the hellfire. وَمَنْ لَمْ يَسْتَقِمْ سَيْرُهُ عَلَى هَذَا الصِّرَاطِ الْمُسْتَقِيمِ فِي الدُّنْيَا Whoever is not upright and firm upon the sirat al-mustaqim of this life, بَلْ انْحَرَفَ عَنْهُ Right, he deviates from it. إِمَّا إِلَى فِتْنَةِ الشُّبُهَاتِ أَوْ إِلَى فِتْنَةِ الشَّهَوَاتِ Either and he's succumbing to the temptations of shubuhat, or here, yani that those they translate shubuhat as doubts, but yani doubting about the religion, if you will, or following a path that is not correct as it relates to knowledge, or fitna to shahawat, which is the temptation of the lowly desires. So a person either deviates one way or another. Right? كان اختطاف الكلاليب له على صراط جهنم بحسب اختطاف الشبهات والشهوات له عن هذا الصراط المستقيم. He says, then those kalalib, those hooks, right, upon the path that is over Jahannam, meaning the sirat that is over the fire. Those hooks will hook him, right, commensurate with or in according to the way that he was being hooked in this dunya, either by shubuhat or by shahawat. كما في حديث أبي هريرة إنها تخطف الناس بأعمالهم that these hooks hook onto people and slash them according to their deeds. They'll snatch the people according to their deeds. Right? I didn't do the Arabic, the translation justice, but understand it like this. If a person is upright on the sirat in this life, then Allah Azza wa Jalla will keep them upright on that sirat that goes over Jahannam. And if a person deviates from the sirat in this life, either because of shubuhat, and shubuhat directly relate to a person's knowledge of the deen, Okay? So, they call them...
ambiguous,
right? Not necessarily ambiguous, but we could go with that. Ala kulli hal, the word that I'm trying to think of is not coming to me. But anyway, those doubts that people begin to have about the deen. Okay? Or shahawat, meaning in general, people know that they're not supposed to do those things, right? But they're just following their lusts and their desires. So according to that, a person will be hooked in the hereafter by those thorns and those hooks, or they'll be slashed and snatched according to that. And that's why it's very important, y'all. When you think about the sirat that we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to keep us firm upon and to guide us. Every single time we pray in every single rak'ah, and it's a reminder, it should remind us of the sirat of the hereafter. And that we want to stay firm on that sirat. Allahumma musta'an. Tayyib. After the crossing the bridge, Fadhil Shaykh.
Al-Qantara, the arch.
It's right? Yes, Al-Qantara, na'am. It's a purification station, right? So this is after the sirat. Some of the scholars say it's the last portion of the sirat. And others say it's an entirely different structure before entering Jannah. Na'am.
After they cross the bridge, they will stop over an arched bridge between paradise and the fire. There, they will settle any mutual grievances. Then, when they are cleaned and cleansed, they will be permitted to enter paradise.
Okay, so who crosses the bridge? The believers only. Only the believers. Right. And they will be the people of Jannah. But before they get to Jannah, what happens?
They'll be standing there and people that messed over them and they messed over will come and get their stuff back.
Right, so, but there's a difference between their settling of mutual grievances here as opposed to what happens before the sirat, yani during the hisab. Because during the hisab, that's when a person may take from someone's good deeds, right? Or someone else may take some of their bad deeds off of their...
That's beforehand.
Yeah. This settling of mutual grievances is to remove anything which may be left in the chest. As Allah Azza wa Jal says in the Quran, وَنَزَعْنَا مَا فِي صُدُورِهِمْ مِنْ غِلْ. And we remove what is in their chests of any enmity or grievances. And that's because, subhanAllah, even after, I mean, if we think about this in terms of dunyawi terms, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best, yani what happens in the hereafter, or how it happens. But in dunyawi terms, you may get your rights back from somebody, and still what? Still have something in your chest. Right? Well, nobody's entering Jannah that way. There will be a settling of that before people get to Jannah. Read this hadith, Sheikh.
Only the pure enter paradise. Abu Sa'id al-Khudri, radiallahu anhu, reported that Allah's Messenger, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, said that when the believers pass safely over the bridge across hell, they will be stopped at an Al-Qantara bridge between hell and paradise, where retribution will be established among them for the injustices done among them in the world. After they are cleansed and purified for retribution, they will be admitted into paradise by him in whose hand is Muhammad's soul. Each person will recognize his home in paradise better than he recognizes his own in this world.
How many of you can drive home from here without thinking about it? Like, you just get in your car, you don't have to put in GPS. You don't even have to think about it. From here. You're not even here every day for a lot of you. You can just drive home, right? You know how to get, and if, even if the road was blocked, you would know how to work around it. Because you know how, you know where your house is. And you know how to get there. SubhanAllah, the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam said, each person will recognize his home in paradise better than he recognizes his home in this world. SubhanAllah. This hadith is in Sahih al-Bukhari. And I remember when some of the mashayikh had mentioned this hadith, they said they don't know of any other hadith that's like it. And it's isnad. Listen to what al-Bukhari says. قال حدثني السلط بن محمد. So it's the Shaykh of al-Bukhari. قال حدثنا يزيد بن زريع ونزعنا ما في صدورهم من غل قال حدثنا سعيد عن قتادة عن أبي المتوكل الناجي أن أبا سعيد الخدري رضي الله عنه قال قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم. Al-Bukhari himself puts the ayah in the isnad. وَنَزَعْنَا مَا فِي صُدُورِهِمْ مِنْ غِلْ And we remove what is in their chest of enmity. As if he's saying that this is a tafsir, this hadith tafsir of that ayah. But it comes in the middle of the isnad. No, I'm not aware of any other isnad in any of the other books of hadith that have that. SubhanAllah. Anyway, that's a bahth for Shaykh Abu Muhammad, Sahib al-Hadith. Jazakallahu khairan. Tayyib. Okay, so here we're talking about the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam says after they are cleansed and purified, they will be admitted into paradise. As Shaykh al-Islam says here, then when they are cleaned and cleansed, they will be permitted to enter paradise. However, he doesn't talk about entering paradise. And so we're going to mention very quickly just a few things about entering paradise. So the first is seeking to enter Jannah. What does that look like? Anas ibn Malik reported that Allah's Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, I will come to the gate of paradise on Yawm al-Qiyamah fa-astaftihu. And I will seek to open it. And the keeper will say, the guard will say, who are you? And I will reply, Muhammad. And he will say, I have been ordered not to open it for anyone before you. So the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam is the first one that will seek for the gates of Jannah to be opened, and it won't be opened until he is the one to get there and seek for it to be opened. Now, طيب, the gates of Jannah. Fadl Sheikh Mukhtar.
Anyone who spends a prayer for the sake of Allah will be called from the gates of Jannah. O slave of Allah, this is better for you. The people of Salah will be called from the gate of Salah. The people of Jihad will be called from the gate of Jihad. The people of charity will be called from the gate of charity. And the people of fasting will be called from Al-Rayyan, the gate of Al-Rayyan.
Now, so here, a lot can be said about this hadith. We don't have time to go into the detail. But anyone who spends a pair, man anfaqa, Zawjain. Some of the scholars say يحتمل أن يراد به الإنفاق مرة بعد مرة. يعني twice or double of something means that a person is doing it over and over again. Or it could mean that which the person puts forth by way of his nafs, what he has to do in himself and what he does with him wealth. So both things. And so a pair here. And spending, by the way, doesn't just mean what you do with money. I mean, you spend your time doing things. You spend, right? You don't. Spending is not just money. Al-infaq does not just refer to money. Anyway, what the scholars are saying here is anyone who spends a pair for the sake of Allah, in other words, that this person has done extra, they've gone beyond what is simply required. Okay, this requires a lot more explanation. The point that I wanted to bring here is that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is telling us that the doors have names, that the gates to Jannah have names. Okay, some of them, the door of or the gate of Salat, the gate of Jihad, the gate of Sadaqah, Ar-Rayyan, right, which is not named after the ibadah itself. The ibadah is what? Al-Siyam. Al-Rayyan means what? Huh? It's actually the quenching of the thirst, right? Is the Rayyan, which is the kind of like the opposite of the fasting itself. And there are other, there's how many gates are there? Let's talk. Thamania. Now, eight. Right. The other ones, there are other ahadith that talk about other names. Discussion for a different day, because many of those are not authentically reported back to the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam. However, there's something that we can do that's directly related to what we talked about earlier, which is the hold. What is it that you do that you can, when you're doing it, you're thinking about drinking from the hold? Making wudu. Tayyib. What does wudu have to do with the eight gates of Jannah? Tayyib. Fadl, Sheikh Mukhtar.
Umar ibn al-Khattab, radiallahu anhu, reported that Allah's Messenger, alayhi salatu wasalam, said, whoever of you performs wudu well, then says, Ashhadu la ilaha illallah, ashhadu anna Muhammadin abduhu wa rasuluh. I testify that there is no true God except Allah and that Muhammad is his slave and messenger. The eight gates of Jannah are open for him.
Mm.
He may enter through whichever of them he wills.
How many times you just make wudu and you just make wudu and rushing to get to the salat or whatever,
we just
forget. No, what I'm saying is, think about it. Think about the gates of Jannah being open. Think about the fact that, yani bi idnillah, you're going to be recognized on Yawm al-Qiyamah because of your wudu. Because of that wudu. And don't, again, moving away from just mindless ibadah, if you will, right? Just kind of routine. Now, Tayyib, the last thing that we'll cover, inshallah ta'ala, I'm going to go through this somewhat quickly, is ash-shafa'ah, the intercession. This is where we are now. Shaykh al-Islam al-Taymiyyah, rahimahullah ta'ala, says the first to request the opening of the door of paradise will be Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, which we actually just covered in the hadith. The first nation to enter paradise will be his nation. Not the only nation, but the first nation. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, نَحْنُ الْأَوَّلُونَ الْآخِرُونَ. Yani we are the first and the last, meaning the first to enter paradise, but the last of the nations on the earth. Now, what does shafa'a actually mean? So, the linguistic definition is to make something even or to double it, right? So, al-witr is what? Is odd, whereas shafa' is even, okay? That's linguistically. In terms of religious terminology, is asking on behalf of another person to bring benefit to him or to repel harm from that person. So that's shafa'ah. How you say that in English?
Intercession.
Yeah, we translate it as intercession.
Salvation?
No, not salvation. Intercession. No street terms for that? Put in a good word for me, looking out, all right, all of that. But yeah, so I don't want us to get caught up on not really understanding, okay, shafa'ah means, look, I made a call for him, right? Put in a good word, what did you say?
On behalf,
I called on behalf of him, right? So this is shafa'ah, asking on behalf of another person to bring benefit to him. So when somebody calls you up and say, do you know so-and-so? Can you call them for me? They're asking you for shafa'ah. You got it? Like, don't think of it as some mystical concept. That's what shafa'ah is. I'm getting somebody else to come in on for me, because if I tried to do it myself, it wouldn't have the same effect. Either it's going to take longer, or the person's not going to do it, or whatever. All right? So categories that we have: legitimate shafa'ah, and we have batil shafa'ah, or invalid. It's batil if it doesn't meet one or more of the criteria of the legitimate intercession, which has three criteria. First, that Allah is pleased with the intercessor. Okay? Who's the intercessor? That's the one making the call, all right, if we use that terminology. Mm-hmm. Allah accepts the one being interceded for. So that one that, the original one, right, that's trying to find somebody to speak on their behalf, Allah has to accept that person, okay? And Allah grants permission for the intercession to happen. In other words, all of it goes back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Allah doesn't owe anybody anything. And therefore, nobody has a favor that they can call in. In other words, nobody can call Allah to collect on a favor. Because Allah doesn't owe anybody anything. Whereas a lot of times, how does intercession happen in the dunya? It's like, I'll call Muhammad. Somebody called me. Hey, can you call Muhammad for me? And Muhammad owes me something. Muhammad, I need to cash in on that favor, right? So, but Allah doesn't owe anybody anything. All of it goes back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And intercession is not just studied. Yani, it's from the issues that we study when we talk about the hereafter, because it's taking place in the hereafter. But a lot of times, intercession is studied in. When we study al-uluhiyya, right, which is the worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala alone and his right to be worshipped alone, and that's because much of the deviation that has happened in worshipping other than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has come because people believe that they are shufa'a, or which is the plural of shafir, that they can go to, right, and that they will speak to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on their behalf. Right, and this was the way of the mushrikeen in the past. In any event, the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam here on page 90, the author says the first shafa'ah will be on behalf of mankind standing at the place of right, yani on yawm al-qiyam, so that the judgment will begin, because people will be waiting for a long time for the judgment to begin. This is after they have gone to the prophets, meaning that the people will go to the various prophets to request this shafa'ah, that the judgment begin. Go to Allah and ask him to start the judgment. Adam and Nuh and Ibrahim, Musa and Isa, alayhim as-salam, each one declining. They all give excuses for not asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala until they finally go to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And this is known as al-maqam al-mahmud. This is the maqam al-mahmud. All right, the second will be on behalf of the people of paradise, that they be allowed entry, right? These two intercessions are specific to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Okay, nobody else will do this type of interceding. The third will be on behalf of those who are deserving of the fire. Okay, meaning that they are deserving to go to the hellfire. Their bad deeds outweigh their good deeds. But there are some who intercede on their behalf. That might be friends. That might be somebody who prayed with you in the masjid. I saw Fulan, Ya Rabbi. I saw him. He used to pray in the masjid. Okay. Taib, the intercession is for him, for all of the prophets, the sincerely truthful, and for others. This issue here of Shafa'a, yani subhanAllah, again, could take quite some time on it. They will intercede on behalf of those who are deserving of the fire, that they not enter it, and on behalf of those who have entered the fire, that they be removed from it. And there's a lot of discussion around this particular topic. But I'll say this. Abu Hurairah went to the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam and he said, Ya Rasulullah, man as'adu nas bi shafa'atik yawm al-qiyamah. Who are those who will be the most likely and be the most deserving of your shafa'ah on the day of judgment? And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasalam said, I didn't think anybody would ask me about this before you, Abu Hurairah. Right? From what I know of you, of al-hirs al-hadith, right? Because of your diligence and keenness on learning the hadith. He said, أَسْعَدُ النَّاسِ بِشَفَاعَةِ يَوْمُ الْقِيَامَةِ مَنْ قَالَ لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا اللَّهِ خَالِصًا مِنْ قَلْبِهِ. That the people who will have my shafa'ah, the most right to my shafa'ah on Yawm al-Qiyamah, are those who have said La ilaha illallah sincerely from their hearts. And if it's sincere from the heart, then it will manifest itself on the limbs. And that's without a doubt. And this is from the virtues of Tawheed. The virtues of Tawheed is that the true Muwahid, the one who truly worships Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, sincere to Him and worships Him alone, will get the intercession of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam. And believe me, every single Muslim is going to want that. Every single person is going to want that. That you have the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam interceding on your behalf. Now,
does the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam also intercede for those who are supposed to receive an account and enter Jannah without an account?
Allahu a'lam. I've never heard that before. There are people, and we didn't mention this when we talked about hisab, there are those who will enter Jannah without hisab and without adab. They skip that whole part. And they go over the sirat and they go to Jannah. Nah. But in terms of will there be people who deserve, well, I don't know if deserved hisab even is a thing, because everybody deserves the hisab, but there will be some, the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, who informed us that there will be some who will skip that from the fadl of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala upon them, is that they will have no hisab at all. They won't be taken to account at all. Will there be people, this was the question, will there be people who the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam will intercede for them and then they won't have a hisab? I've never heard that. Wallahu ta'ala a'lam. Tayyib. Something else that we can do. I mean, there are several things that we can do to gain the shafa'ah of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam. The one is being true muwahideen, right? Being true to tawheed. Second thing is mentioned here in this hadith. Fadl Shaykh.
Abdullah ibn Amr ibn al-As reported that Allah's Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasalam said, when you hear the muwahideen, repeat what he says, and then invoke a blessing upon me. For everyone who invokes a blessing upon me will receive 10 blessings from Allah, then beg from Allah al-wasila for me, which is a rank in paradise, fitting for only one of Allah's servants, and I hope that I may be that one. If anyone who asks that I be given the wasila, he will be assured of my intercession.
So, hadith of Jabir, which is above in Arabic. من قال حين يسمع النداء اللهم رب هذه الدعوة التامة والصلاة القائمة آت محمد الوسيلة والفضيلة وابعث مقاما محمودا الذي وعدت حلت له شفاعتي يوم القيامة. Again, how many times do you just say something and then don't even think about what you're saying or think about the great reward that is associated with that thing that you're saying, right? And understand what you're saying. So, but there's a subtle point here. Man qala what? Hina yasma'u nida. Whoever says when he hears the adhan, Allahumma rabba hadhi da'wat at-tama. Tayyib. Huh? Ah. It's important that a person hear the adhan. It's important that a person hear that. This is not the Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar that's coming off your phone. Right? That one you don't repeat this after. You repeat this when you hear the Mu'addin. The Mu'addin. Right? So repeat after the Mu'addin and then say at the end, Allahumma Rabba hadhihi ad-da'wa at-tama, to the end of the dua. So it is very important, yani, that a believer have his portion of this. Hearing the adhan and repeating after the muadhan, and whoever does so, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that he is assured of my intercession. Tayyib. Last thing now, Allah's mercy in the hereafter. Fadl Shaykh.
Then Allah, without anyone interceding, will take some people out of the fire by virtue of his grace and mercy. After this, there will still remain some uninhabited space in paradise. So Allah Azza wa Jalla will create some peoples for it and grant them to entry therein.
The summarized version is that the hellfire will be, people will be put into the hellfire. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will put his foot over the fire, and the fire will yanzawi ba'duha ala ba'd. Yani, almost as if it's like folding up on itself. Mm-hmm. Right? And so it will be full. And the fire will say, enough, enough. But Jannah will still have space. After all of the people of Jannah have entered into Jannah, it will still have space. Even though in many of the, subhanAllah, and you look at the narrations, every person will have for them more than what is in the heavens and the earth. And there's still going to be room left in Jannah. So Allah Azza wa Jal will create, as it says here, at that time will be filled. Okay, as regards to Allah will create a new creation to fill paradise. But He won't do that for the fire, because the fire is His justice. Whereas paradise is His fadl, it's His mercy, it's His grace. So He'll create from His mercy, He will create people or a creation that will enter into paradise. And He will enter them into the paradise, as is in the hadith of Abu Huraira. Huh?
For free?
Tayyib. Subhanallah, one of the beautiful aspects of this deen is that we realize it's not our actions that get us to Jannah. It's only the mercy of Allah, subhanahu wa ta'ala. Our actions are a sabab, right? They are a cause, and we strive because we just don't know. But even the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam said, none of you will enter Jannah as compensation for his actions. Number one, Jannah is too much to... what have we done to deserve it, right? And so there's no... Jannah doesn't come as a compensation or as a collateral, if you will, for what you've done in this life. Illa an yataghammadani Allahu bi rahmatihi, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, unless Allah encompass me with His mercy. On that note, you know, you think about this dua. Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha came to the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, and she said to him, if we know which night is Laylatul Qadr, what should we say? Just follow me real quick. Follow me on this. When is Laylatul Qadr? It's in the last 10 nights of Ramadan, which means that at least for 20 days, you've been what? Fasting, praying at night, probably giving sadaqah. It's probably your most, if I can use the term loosely, religious time of the year, right? For 20 days, you've been the most religious that you ever are, right? And for the rest of the year. And what did Prophet tell her to say? Allahumma innaka afuun. Tuhibbul afwa. Not Allahumma innaka tataqabbal. Wa innaka al-mujib fataqabbal minni. Oh Allah, accept from me. Allahumma innaka afu. You are the pardoning. Tuhibbul afwa fa'fu anni. You love pardoning. You love pardoning, so pardon me. Don't get a big head because for the last 20 days you've been fasting and praying and giving sadaqah and reading the Quran and not. Allahumma innaka afuun. To show you that what? Allah's afu is way better than any of the deeds that you could have done. Nah. Wallahu musta'an. Tayyib. Iqra Shaykhi. Done. We're done here. Alhamdulillah. This is the last thing, inshallah.
Revelation provides details of the hereafter. Page 91. The various categories of judgment, reward, punishment, paradise, and hell that the abode of the hereafter contain are detailed in the revealed books from heaven, in the narrations coming down from the prophets, and the knowledge inherited from the Prophet Muhammad
sallallahu alaihi wasallam.
This amount suffices and satisfies the desire to know. So whoever looks to it or at it will find it.
And in other words, the revelation in the Quran and the Sunnah of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam provide details of what is going to happen in the next life. This book here, Al-Aqid al-Wasitiyya, is a summary of the Aqid of Ahl al-Sunnah. It's not going to give you all of the details. And whoever looks in those sources will find what they're looking for, bi-idhnillahi ta'ala, of those details. And I do hope that, bi-idhnillahi, that Allah Azza wa Jal gives us the opportunity in the future to do a very detailed study of the hereafter, of the barzakh, and what is actually happening. Because when I tell you that this, wallahu ta'ala a'lam, will help us to prioritize what we do in this life. It helps you to prioritize where you go, who you spend time with, how you spend your time, everything, because you know that you are accountable. The last thing, inshallah, is just to memorize this dua that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam would make, a dua that Ibn Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu said it was rare that we would leave from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam without him making this dua. And it's a long dua, but I've only taken out this one part because it is very, very relevant to our study right now, and that is Allahumma la taj'al ad-dunya akbara hammina. Oh Allah, don't make this world our biggest concern. If this world is not your biggest concern, then what is your biggest concern? The next life. Yeah, the next life. Allahumma la taj'al ad-dunya akbara hammina. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, whoever makes the hereafter his concern, Allah will place ghina in his heart, richness and contentment in his heart. He will consolidate his affairs, bring everything together so that you're not scattered, right? What's the opposite of your affairs being consolidated? Scattered. What would you say? He's all over the place. That's not a good quality, by the way, right? Allah will place ghina in his heart, consolidate his affairs, and the dunya will come to him despite that. The dunya is still going to come. You just don't have to chase it. Right? Subhanallah. There's so much that can be said, but take this dua. If that's what you get out of here and you say this a lot, Allahumma la taj'al ad-dunya akbara hammina, right? Then what's going to happen is you're going to be less concerned about this dunya. And Allah will make a way for you. And you don't have to be so wrapped up into the daily hustle and grind and forget that it's all going to come to an end. That's Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala al-afiyah. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for Jannah to save us from the fire. Allahumma la taj'al ad-dunya akbar hammina wa la mablagh ilmina wa la ila an-nari masirana waj'al al-jannata hiya darana. Subhanakallahumma wa bihamdika ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk.